This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. A physician from Arlington makes a living going to some of the most dangerous places in the world to provide medical care. Dr. Dean Marchbine is now in eastern Ukraine. The region's been racked by conflict for nearly 5 years. Ukrainian forces are fighting pro-Russian militias. Russia wants to control the country. More than 1 million people have fled, but there are still pockets of mostly elderly people in villages in the conflict zone. Some have been without electricity for years and survive only on the food they grow. The fighting has destroyed local clinics and left people in dire health. Dr. Marchbine is with the humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders. She coordinates the group's medical care in 28 villages in eastern Ukraine. She sends out medical teams to set up mobile clinics in people's homes. Marchbine told us on Skype she asks people she visits why they continue to live in desolation in a conflict zone.
Sometimes the answer is, this is my home. I have lived here for my entire life. I have no place to go. I do not have the money to go. People on fixed pensions really cannot afford to leave.
When you say fixed pension, it's somewhere for some people around $50 or $60 a month that they're trying to live on, which is why they grow their own food, have pretty much no other income. What are their needs? What are you tending to?
Essentially, we are treating people with chronic non-communicable diseases, so high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. Additionally, since Ukraine has no system of ambulatory mental health, there is a psychologist with every team that goes, and they're dealing with people with anxiety because they're listening to shelling sometimes every day, depression, grief, loss. What they express is a kind of shock that they live in Europe and how could this be happening? And they express sadness and just surprise that this is what their life is in their older years.
When you visit them, can you hear the shelling? Are you anywhere near the line of fire?
We go to a great deal of care to make sure that our teams are not in harm's way. My assistants make calls in the morning before the mobile teams leave to make sure that there is no active shelling going on. I can say that I have heard distant shelling, but never anything close. In one community that we have not been able to get a mobile team because it gets shelled so regularly, I went to do an evaluation to see, I'm trying to find a way for our teams to be able to safely get there. And I talked to one elderly woman who lives there with her 50-year-old mentally disabled son who cannot leave her home because if she does, and he's afraid to leave home, he will wander off looking for their old home. They have moved 3 times. Their house has been destroyed 3 times by shelling. There is no other place for them to go.
What can you do for someone like that?
I can try to provide health care for them. This elderly woman had not seen a doctor in 5 years. I'm trying to organize a safety time when I can get my team there to be able to do home visits, and she cannot leave home. She lives in a community that not a single house is left without some evidence of shelling.
You were kind enough to tape some of the people who you're serving, some of the patients. Can you tell us about one particular one?
Yes. One woman who is in her late 60s, when the shelling was at its worst, she would go to the basement, but her husband is not able to go to the basement. He's not able to walk. So they would listen to the shelling from their house, and of course they were terrified.
Let's hear from them.
My husband kept saying, so what may happen will happen. If the shell hits our house, what can we do? If it is our destiny, what can we do?
But that must have made you very anxious to be hearing shelling and to feel like you should be in the basement.
All the diseases which I have, they exacerbated during this period. Even something connected with my digestion system, everything was worse during that time.
When you offer psychological help, or the team does, this is not a culture that's used to the idea of psychotherapy. How did you get them to trust you? How did the team members gain their trust?
I think that people have such great needs, and when you have a team, a medical team, that comes to your village week after week, month after month, and they are the only people who are coming, you feel that they understand your humanity and that they are standing with you, and somehow that trust grows.
Some colleagues of yours have been killed as they are doing their jobs. I wonder what keeps you returning to a place like this.
I choose to think about what I can do rather than the risks involved. I am risk averse, frankly.
You say you're risk averse, but you've worked in places from Syria to Libya to Afghanistan. So it does make one wonder.
Somehow for centuries and years, people have managed to live in places where there's conflict. Babies are born, medical services are needed, and although it is tragic that some of my colleagues have died working, those numbers are actually very, very small.
You know, you're giving an awful lot. You're giving, your team is giving life to these people. I wonder what you get from the patients themselves.
Oh, it's such rewarding work. I never doubt why I go to work, the value of what I'm doing. If my team didn't do it, these people would not have medical care. These are people with so little, and yet they'll bring cakes and fruit from their gardens when they harvest it and want to give me a hug and thank me for the work that my team is doing. It's so obvious that they appreciate it.
Dr. Dean Marchbein is an anesthesiologist from Arlington. She coordinates Doctors Without Borders medical care in eastern Ukraine.